You know, if you know who Peter is or you don't know who he is, if you believe in Jesus, don't believe in Jesus. If I said this, do you have a sound of your past that still echoes in your ear? Do you have a sound from a past moment in time of failure? Do you have a sound in a moment of time where you had a relationship that fell apart, a dream that seemed to crumble before you, a time in the past that you look and you go, that's what I dream about when I close my eyes. That's what I hear when I put my head on the pillow. That's what is, and anytime someone says something, this is what I get drawn back to. If that's you today, can I just say I'm absolutely thrilled that you're here to hear the simple message that we have for you, that it, Jesus Christ, God wants to replace that sound with the sound of victory. God wants to replace that sound with the sound of hope. And so it doesn't matter the something you did, the actions that you took, or the words that you spoke, today can be a brand new day for you. So welcome to Navigation Church. Absolutely thrilled that you're here this morning. And hey, happy Easter. Just make it real simple like that. How many are ready to go home, find some eggs, eat some ham, and sleep the afternoon away? Right. Good. It's just not me then. So here's what we're going to do. Today, I want to tell you about a guy named Peter, but the first thing I do, I need to make sure we're always on the same page, getting kicked off at the same start. And I think this movie most people have seen before, Lion King. Have you seen that before? How many are excited about the new one that they're about to do wrong? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess my opinion came out. So I'm pretty sure I'm just going to watch Jungle Book and Lion King form now. That's my thought. But you had this guy named Simba. And if you haven't seen it, because I know there's some younger people, because at this point, I'm old and I get that. There's this lion, Simba, who in his actions, in his desire to be something that he wasn't, in his desire to do something that he shouldn't, his actions created tragedy and death for the world around him. I mean, you remember that part. And then Simba ended up having to run away, but it was okay that he ran away because we got the song. Hakuna Matata. Oh, I love you guys for that. Like, I had to prep the last service. You guys just took off with it. But don't sing it too much because they will block us on YouTube because we're not licensed to sing it. But while he was gone, here's one of the things when I watch this movie that I always think of him. He was a long way away from who he was supposed to be. Does that make sense? He was a long way away from who he wants to be. And there's a lot of times in our life, we're a long way away from who we want to be. And again, you don't have to believe in God. You don't have to believe in Jesus or anything like this. But you know this is true in your life because there's times that you failed to live up to the very standard that you made for yourself. Right? There's times in your life that you do an action, that you say something, you don't come through with something, and that you are disappointed in you for not being what you said that you were going to be. So when I say you're a long way away from who, you're miles away from who you want to be, here's the thing that you need to know today that I'll warn you now, I'm going to say it 5, 6, 8, 20 times. The greatest thing to know about God is what he thinks about you when you're at your worst. The most important thing that you need to know about Jesus is what he thinks about you when you are at your absolute worst, lowest place in life. And so that's what's great about using Peter. So if you don't know Peter, here's a quick backstory. Peter was a fisherman. One day Jesus came walking around the shore, called Peter to be one of his disciples. Here's ultimately what that boils down to. Jesus had some information that he got a group of guys around him in order to give them this information that when he's gone, it lives on. So in essence, that's a way to summarize disciples. So Peter would follow Jesus, and Peter was my favorite disciple ever. Why? Because he acted first and thought later. It's just like me, it's a lot like me, scary like me. And he also had anger issues, which isn't necessarily me, but I'm looking around the room, some of you are grinning right now. It does absolutely like reflect with you. And so here's one of the times, Peter, welcome to Navigation Church where we call you out. So Peter's in this garden and Jesus is going, hey, I have to go die. And Peter goes, nope. And he pulls out a knife from a guard that came to arrest him, tried to kill a Roman soldier, ended up only cutting off his ear. Jesus had to heal the ear and literally look at Peter and go, knock it off. Like, this is who Peter is. But sometimes, and this is why I love Peter, sometimes you accidentally get it right. How many know what that feels like? Because there was one time Jesus said, hey, who do people say that I am? And all the disciples are like, you're Elijah, you're this guy, you're that guy. And but who do you say that I am? And Peter goes, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus went, yes. Like, even Jesus was shocked at this moment that Peter got it right. And so Peter all of a sudden spoke up and he got it right. But on the heels of that was the exact same time that Jesus looked at Peter and said this to him. He said, by the way, there's going to be a time coming up that people are going to ask, do you know me? And you're going to deny me three times. I'll never deny you. Actually, you will, and I'll put a punchline on it. When you get finished denying me, a rooster's going to crow in order to remind you that I knew you better than you know you. But here's the best part. You need to know that I love you when you're at the worst you. And then, so here we go in Luke chapter 22. For those who aren't familiar with the Bible, it's a book that we Christians read. There's an old part and a new part, an old covenant, a new covenant. And the new part has the story of Jesus in it. And Peter's sitting around this courtyard. They had already arrested Jesus. They've been beating Jesus. They just went through a farce of a trial. They put Jesus coming down the road, and all of a sudden a servant girl saw him being Peter, seated there in the firelight. And she looked closely at him and said, This man was with Jesus. And Peter said, woman, we don't do that nowadays. Just, hey, men, I'm just going to give you a little takeaway nugget. If she says something you agree or don't agree with, don't look at her and go, woman, just trust me. Oh, it's not worth it. They still use frying pans. And she goes, woman, it wasn't me. A little later, a skillet. Thank you for that. he's been hit with a skillet, folks, right over here. I heard it firsthand. A little later, someone else saw him and said, man, you're one of them. And Peter goes, I am not. And then about an hour later, another asserted himself and said, certainly this fellow is with him because he's Galilean. And Peter, in another version, it actually said that he began cussing. He began kind of reverting back to who he used to be. And so think of this. Why do we always act like what we don't want to be? Just naturally speaking, why do we act like what we don't want to be? Because sometimes in life, we're trying to connect with people that we shouldn't be with. So we deny who we are by, actually, I could say it this way, reverting to an old me. How many, if I say this phrase, and by the way, this isn't a Christian thing, this is a real life thing. How many would say there's an old you that you're glad you're not anymore? Okay, and if you didn't say yes to that, let me say this. How many are glad you're not the high school you anymore? Right? That's the old you. That's the you that you're glad that you're past. But there's times that this old you that you're glad that you walked away from, you think you're acting like the new you, but the old you ends up coming out. Right? And so here's kind of, and by the way, and I said it once, I'll say it again, you don't even have to believe in Jesus to take this away and use this and put this in your life. If you're the old you that you don't like, and you're trying to move to the new you, if any of the old you shows back up, you should stop and look at your surroundings. Because that surrounding's bringing out the worst of you. So Peter, rather than following Jesus at this time, is put into a different surrounding that he begins to curse. And by the way, I'm assuming he's pretty good at it. Why? Because he used to be a fisherman. And if there's one thing I know, it's deadliest catch on Discovery, them boys know how to cuss. Them boys know how to cuss really, really well. And so Peter, I don't know what he was saying, but I'm sure he remembered on how to let it fly. And rather than realizing that the old man isn't acting like the new man, he should have taken stock of what the old man was doing and went, what is it around me that I need to get away from? So if you're trying to become the new you by getting away from the old people, and all of a sudden you have a desire to do drugs again, I would say you should pause, look around and go, what is making the new me want the old me to still be here? If you have words that you don't want to use, and by the way, if you hear this sermon as, oh, they're preaching on how not to cuss. Well, listen, cussing is nothing more than climbing on top of someone with power because you don't have power in that moment. But this isn't a sermon on cussing. Is it sin? Is it not sin? It's an environment that you're in that you're acting like what you don't want to act like. So that's what this boils down to. So Peter's now finding himself in this place, and the worst of him is starting to come out. So here's your hit, here's your takeaway from the day. When the old you is showing up, but you want to live like the new you, you need to figure out what's pulling out the old you and get away from it. I know we have this belief system that we need to conquer this thing, and we need to overcome this thing, and we need to beat this thing. I got a new one from you. Run from that thing. Find the friends that don't make you act like this. Find the family that loves you properly. Find the pastors in the church who will care for you. Because if not, here's what happens then. Because if not, here's what Peter said. He said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed three times. So you remember what Jesus warned him about. Then the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words that the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And then he went out and wept bitterly. So at this point, here's something as Christians, if you know what this means, he has risen. Okay, so good. You guys are those insiders that I talked about earlier. Here's a warning for you. You can be very, very close to Christ and still turn your back on Christ. And I just can't imagine in this moment the something that he just did, the actions that he just took, the words that he just spoke, how it seared into his soul the moment he locked eyes with his Savior and saw the heartbreak that he created. I can't imagine what Peter thought at that moment, but I do know this. He would always be reminded of it every morning when a rooster crowed three times. Could you imagine, and I think some of you know this, could you imagine every day being reminded of when you were at your worst? Every day being awakened to the sound of the greatest failure that will go down in history as the moment that Peter denied Christ. What about every day when he'd be walking down the street and someone would simply go, hey, do you know Jack? And here's what he heard, do you know Jesus? Every time walking down the street and people would be excited about the Savior that gave his life, he only has one thing echoing in his ears, I don't know him. But the exciting thing is Jesus didn't want him to stay there. Jesus wanted to find him there. Because here's the most thing that what matters the most is what God thinks of you when you are at your worst. Because 3 days later, he has risen. So 3 days later, Peter finds out that Jesus is alive, that other disciples are interacting with him. And I don't know what Peter was thinking in this moment, but if I was Peter, he's coming to get me. He's mad at me. He's angry with me. He'll never forgive me. How many have ever been on the other side of the conversation where you think the worst about it? Okay, now the creator of the universe, you've just offended. I would say not the best place to be on, right? And so what matters the most is then Jesus, after showing himself, here's what we have to hear in Mark 16, verse 7. Jesus said this, go tell all the disciples and Peter. The one person that he could have just left out when he said, and tell all the disciples. But he made sure to say, and Peter. Why? Because what matters the most is what God thinks of you when you were at your worst. And God knew that Peter was at his worst. And what we do in our modern time is we believe that God is an old man with a long beard sitting in heaven that is vindictive and can't wait to get back at us. But this morning, I need to tell you this. God is saying, and you. When you're at your worst, God is saying, and you. When you're at your most broken, God is saying, and you. When you have done that action that you don't think you can come back from, God is saying, and you. When you said those words you never think you should have said, God is saying, and you. When you were at your most lowest, darkest, worst spot in all of humanity, God is saying this to you today, and you. Could you imagine that new sound coming out? But where's Peter? Why did he have to say, and Peter? Because Peter went back to fishing. He went back to fishing. Oh, you no good son of a. Like, I don't know what he was doing, but he was fishing. Because anytime we feel bad or anytime we're at a place where things are echoing our ear that we don't want to hear, past memories are haunting us that we would love to get away from, past failures are knocking on our door trying to tell us this is how we should identify, we do one of two things. We get either really, really busy, right? Or we get really, really busy or we get really, really distracted. Because busyness is a wonderful thing because you can feel like you're accomplishing or winning. But busy doesn't mean effective. Busy doesn't mean right. So we get really, really busy because we want to feel this win, or we get distracted. We do something Like, go stand on the side of a shore, throwing a line in water, trying to outsmart fish. Unless you're a fisherman, we love you, we're glad that you're here. But like, why we're going to try to get distracted by something, because if we can get our mind on something else, we don't have to hear the echoes of the pain that's reverberating in our ears. But may I give you this one promise? Tonight's going to come for you to lay your head on the pillow. If you go, well, that's why I medicate myself with this or that or the other thing. Well, tomorrow morning's still going to come when you're sobered up, and those echoes are still going to be there. And is still there for us. Why? Because then Jesus decided to go walking along this shoreline. And I love that he comes walking along this shoreline. He comes along the shoreline. He yells to the disciples. He goes, hey, have you caught anything? No, we haven't caught anything. Well, throw your fish nets on the other side. They threw their nets on the other side, and it got filled with fish. And then all of a sudden, Peter and the disciples knew that Jesus was the one doing this. Why? This was actually the very first miracle they ever experienced. And so if you feel like you're away from God, God will always meet you in a place that you he knows that you know him from the past. So he's re-meeting them in this place from the past, and Peter gets so excited, he just kind of goes, like, that's Jesus. He puts his coat on, then jumps in the water. And you might go, well, putting your coat on, jumping in water is awfully dumb. That wasn't the dumb part. The dumb part is the boat was so close, the boat got to the shore the same time he did. He could have just stayed there dry and got to the same location. But he gets there, it's dry, he comes walking up, and here's what it is. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing their net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire burning coals. There the fish were on it, and some bread. And Jesus said, bring some of the fish that you caught, not that I need what you have in order to satisfy what you want. So Peter now finds himself standing in front of Jesus, and Jesus is saying to him, hey, I'm about to give you something that you desperately want. Peter drops to his knees and goes, no, God, not me. No, Jesus, not me. So Jesus was willing to reject God because he believed God was going to reject him. And Jesus is standing there going, no, I want you exactly who you are. Why? Because when you're at your worst, I'll be at my best. And then the most interesting thing happened here, and by the way, just like Bible nerds like me enjoy this, but I hope you like it too. Did you see right there where it said that he was sitting around a fire of burning coals? Throughout the whole Bible, there's always times where people are sitting around a fire, standing around a fire, making fire. But there's only two times in the entire Bible where it says that they were standing around a fire of burning coals. Right here, and the other time is a few scriptures earlier when Peter was standing around a fire full of burning coals, denying God. And so Jesus literally let Peter come back to the moment where he was at his worst to show him that he loves him the most. Jesus isn't afraid of your actions. Jesus isn't afraid of your choices. Jesus isn't afraid of the something you did, the action you took, or the words that you spoke. And if anything, Jesus will bring you back to when you were at your lowest in order to bring you to your highest. Jesus will bring you back to the place where you're the most broken in order for to show you that he can make you whole. He will bring you to the place where you're the most defeated in order to say this, I'm going to make you more than a conqueror. Jesus wants something new to reverberate inside of your ears, and it's not the sound of failure. It's not the sound of rejection. It's not the sound of brokenness. It's the sound of love. The love that he purchased for you on the cross on this day. And so I know I've said it once and I'll say it again. What matters the most today is what God thinks of you when you're at your worst. And so if you came here today, you know, hoping to get a 5-point sermon on how to live the better life, I have 1 point for you today. Jesus loves you. And I know it sounds elementary, I know it sounds basic, but if we don't get this right, we get everything else wrong. So maybe you're here today and you love Jesus with all your heart, and I know that because when I say he is risen, you say, okay, so we got some churchy people here, and I love that you're here. But then here's what I also know. I also believe there's some people here because yesterday we held an Easter outreach, and you found out about us, you've been wondering about this God, so you decided to show up. And I want to let you know, if you feel at your worst today, God's ready to meet you there. Maybe you're here because you come to church once a year for Easter. Maybe you'll show up on Christmas, and if mom bothers you enough, you'll do a three-peat in 1 year. It's a big year for you. But somehow, as I'm talking today, you're tired of feeling at your worst, and you're ready to be at your best. You're tired of the echoes of pain and doubt and suffering, and you're ready to hear joy and laughter and love. I'm so glad you're here. Maybe you're here, and you're cynical. You don't love Jesus. You don't love God. You think all of us that do, we just need a support group. You are absolutely correct, and this is my support group. Because I'm broken. I'm a failure. I'm a loser. I'm a has-been. I'm washed up. And I'm nothing but God. Because one day he said, and David. Amen. So if you're here today, I have a very simple question. Are you ready for a different sound to begin echoing through your ears? And it's the sound of a love of a Savior. And if you are, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand in the air, but to make you as comfortable as I possibly can, could I just ask everyone around the room to simply close your eyes and bow your head and honor those that may be among us? If you're watching us online right now, the same question is going to go to you, and it's a simple question of, are you ready for a new sound in your ear? The sound of a Savior, the sound of your lover, the sound of a friend who wants to rescue you out of the darkest place. And if you're here today and you go, I don't know what's going on, but my mind is racing, there's hope in my heart, my heart is beating, this is for you today. And with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you are ready to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm just going to ask you to simply raise your hand in the air just so that we can see, that I can see that you've made this decision to know God. I see that hand right there. I see those hands. So hands are going up all around the room right now. So I'm going to say the same thing to you watching us online. If you're here and you're listening to us, maybe it's live, maybe you're sitting somewhere at work or at home, raise your hand. It's not awkward. It's very natural, because the Bible says this, that if you actually believe in your heart and you say it with your mouth, that you're saved. So by raising your hand, I believe you believe it in your heart. But now let's confess this with our mouth. Dear Heavenly Father, today I'm ready for the sound of love. Replace my pain with your passion. The passion that brought you to earth onto a cross. And I receive your sacrifice as my payment. Forgive me of my sin. Become Lord of my life. And today I follow you. God, I thank you for every hand that went up, every decision that was made, every life that has been changed. And today, God, I believe that we are going to be seeing many people not only come to know you, but to follow you out of their boat, through the shore, but to the foot of the cross. And today, God, we celebrate that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you believe that, he has risen. Amen. Let's put our hands together and celebrate with everyone who has made a decision.